Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. Jim, I know a lot of folks in Northern Virginia were a little surprised at the amount of tolls they were paying to get into town today. Congratulations, you voted for Democrats, so that's what happens.
It's amazing how quickly that kicks in, you know.
It had nothing to do with this last election, but the outgoing Democratic Governor Terry McAuliffe did authorize this, so people are going to be paying a lot to commute to work. And this, of course, is on top of the largest tax increase in Virginia history, which was shepherded through by Republican Governor Bob McDonnell, which obviously didn't accomplish much, so plenty of blame to go around here. All right, let's move on to the good martini here, Jim. And as you and Chad discussed on Friday, the news came down Friday morning that former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn was indicted and actually has pled guilty now to making false statements to the FBI. And as part of the wall-to-wall coverage of that, ABC News got kind of an important thing wrong in its coverage. And it was because of the sloppy work done by investigative reporter Brian Ross. So he is now facing the music for that. And that's the good martini, actual consequences for journalism that does not tell the story the right way and has damaging ramifications, in fact, if it is told the wrong way, which certainly happened here. ABC News. ABC News on Saturday suspended investigative reporter Brian Ross for 4 weeks without pay for his erroneous report on Michael Flynn, which it called a serious error. Ross, citing an unnamed confidant of Flynn, the former national security advisor, had reported Friday that then-candidate Donald Trump had directed Flynn to make contact with the Russians. That would have been an explosive development in the ongoing investigation into whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to interfere in the election. But hours later, Ross clarified his report on the evening news, saying that his source now said Trump had done so not as a candidate, but as president-elect. At that point, he said Trump had asked Flynn to contact the Russians about issues, including working together to fight ISIS. And so ABC News says, "We deeply regret and apologize for the serious error we made yesterday." So now they're announcing it, their clarification. Brian Ross suspended 4 weeks without pay. Jim, this is nothing new for Brian Ross, except for the suspension. We talked back in 2012 when he was on air live in the wake of the Aurora Theater shooting out in Colorado, when this completely irresponsible exchange took place between George Stephanopoulos and Brian Ross.
I want to go to Brian Ross here, because, Brian, you've been looking at investigating the background of Jim Holmes here, and you found something that might be significant.
There is a Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado page on the Colorado Tea Party site as well, talking about him joining the Tea Party last year. Now, we don't know if this is the same Jim Holmes, but it's Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah, Jim Holmes, that's not a common name or anything, so we'll just throw it out there that he might have slaughtered over a dozen people, and then this happened later.
We don't know much about him. An earlier report that I had was incorrect, that he was connected with the Tea Party. In fact, that's a different Jim Holmes. He is not connected to the Tea Party.
Well, how about that? And also back in 2001 when the anthrax scare was going on, even though Ari Fleischer at the White House told him not to say that Saddam Hussein was behind it because the White House was pretty convinced that he was not, Ross went with the story anyway. So, Jim, Brian Ross has a legacy of shoddy reporting, and it's finally caught up with him. That's good.
You never really enjoy calling for somebody to get fired or lose their jobs, but it is kind of fair to ask, okay, what should be the consequences when you get this many stories this wrong in big consequential ways? I mean, a really embarrassing manner to, you know, the Aurora one, I think most people looked at it and said, aha, here's ABC attempting to destroy the reputation of the Tea Parties, to smear them, the basic desire to make the Tea Party look as bad as possible. The idea that if the same name had been associated with Planned Parenthood supporters or something like that, would Brian Ross have rushed to air something that had not checked out and that he was not confident about? In this case, look, I saw that tweet and I saw that special report from ABC News. And this, like, the word that Donald Trump was telling Flynn, reach out to the Russians during the campaign. If this had happened before all the Russian hacking and the effort to get into the DNC emails and Podesta's emails, well, then this really does look much more like a smoking gun, or it does look much more like a much more serious scenario of supporting the argument of collusion. The idea of saying, hey, we want your help, Russia, and then Russia does these things, then all of a sudden it looks like a much bigger deal. the fact that Brian Ross actually then, you know, reported, or was it, you know, a couple of like 5-6 hours later, he says, look, let me clarify. And it was a long time before ABC News was willing to call this a correction, merely clarifying. No, no. He said during the transition, he asked Flynn to reach out to Russia about help on ISIS, which is really like that's not scandalous. That's not wrong. We can argue about whether Trump is too trusting of Russia or something like that. But most of this stuff going on during the transition is perfectly legitimate contacts between an incoming president and a foreign state. Now, I know there are a lot of us, oh, it's the Logan Act. Well, look, the Logan Act, because obviously nobody's ever been prosecuted under. But theoretically, you can't run around being a free agent, creating your own foreign policy for the United States. Now, we never enforce this against Jimmy Carter when he decides to go travel and meet with foreign dictators. We've never seen this to Jesse Jackson all the times he's tried to, you know, intervene in hostage situations. The Logan Act never gets used against anybody. But the idea that somehow you're going to use this against an incoming president for reaching out to a foreign state, are you kidding me? So, again, Brian Ross gets this totally wrong. 4 weeks around, you know, off around the end of the year isn't terrible. Hopefully Brian Ross will do some sort of learning from this and be more disciplined. But, you know, all in all, really, how many giant mistakes can you make before ABC News starts asking, you know what, Brian, maybe we can find somebody else to do this?
Could be the case. We'll see what happens after the 4 weeks are up. All right, let's move on to the bad martini, Jim. And we've obviously talked a lot in recent weeks about the likes of John Conyers and Al Franken and the sweating that the Democrats are doing and the rethinking of their own philosophy on how to handle allegations like this, because they finally had an epiphany on Bill Clinton. But then when it came to their own people who are still in office, well, we might still need these people. So let's not rush to judgment. Although ultimately, there have now been quite a few calls for Conyers to resign, including by Nancy Pelosi. But now we've got one on the Republican side in the House, and this needs to be highlighted as well. It involves Texas Congressman Blake Farenthal. At your own risk, you might want to Google image Blake Farenthal pajamas, and you'll just get an idea of who we're dealing with here. Representative Blake Farenthal used taxpayer money to settle a sexual harassment claim brought by his former spokeswoman, the only known sitting member of Congress to have used a little-known congressional account to pay an accuser. People familiar with the matter told Politico. Lauren Green, the Texas Republican's former communications director, sued her boss in December 2014 over allegations of gender discrimination, sexual harassment, and creating a hostile work environment. I'm going to have to edit this next paragraph on the fly here. Green said another Farenthal aide told her the lawmaker said he had had fantasies and dreams about her. She also claimed that Farenthal regularly drank to excess and told her in February 2014 that he was estranged from his wife and had not had sex with her in years. When she complained about comments Farenthal and a male staffer made to her, Green said the congressman improperly fired her. She filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in D.C. The case was later dropped after both parties reached a private settlement. Here go this system, $84,000. The congressman is disputing the story, but Jim, the paperwork I assume exists on this. So what do we make of 84 grand of our money being used to pay off a victim here of sexual harassment?
So the infamous photo that you describe, and probably is best with verbal description, you may or may not need to. So apparently he's at this charity fundraiser. It's like a pajama party. He's there in grown man pajamas, thankfully, but he's around scantily clad models who would not look out of place at a Playboy Mansion style party or something like that. And he's had this, you know, picture thrown at him in races for a bunch of times. He says, look, we are all doing this for a good cause. Fine. We'll all decide to not make too much out of that. But once you've got sexual harassment allegations against you, all of a sudden that pictures and events like that look like a different problem. Look, we've all been asking ourselves, as soon as we learned that in Congress you could settle a harassment suit or an office complaint or something like that with taxpayer money and not have to disclose any of it, a lot of us have been asking with great, you know, justification, wait a minute, this is our money you're using. We have every right to know what the allegations were and every right to know which members of Congress are settling them. And some folks end up arguing, saying, wait a second. This is all done for the privacy of the workers and to protect the privacy of the victims and stuff like that. Well, wait a second. Once you start throwing around money, our money, we have a right to say. I would argue that supersedes everything else in this category. Look, I hate to tell you this, Congressman, but, you know, members of Congress, particularly in Texas, it's not like you have to look that hard to find a Republican in Texas. You're irreplaceable. Every one of these guys is replaceable. So the idea that, oh, we've got to run to the ramparts and help defend this guy. And oh, isn't it a terrible thing if these allegation drove him out of office? You know, I'm sorry. I don't think anybody is that particularly valuable. I don't like that he used taxpayer money to do this. I don't like the fact that this was, you know, kept from taxpayers. Yes, it was the policy, but you know what? He always could have fought against that. Anybody in Congress could have fought against that. Apparently, there are several efforts to put together bills and pass legislation saying this practice must end. I wouldn't mind making an example out of him. I do not. There's been way too much sense of entitlement running around Congress for too long in both parties. I think it would do some good to see some serious consequences here. I know he might say, look, I never did anything wrong, but you should be settled in order to avoid protracted litigation. But, you know, I don't know if that practice is all that good, because it looks like, as is, if you were a bad member of Congress, let's just call this bad member of Congress something like Schmon Schmonyers or something like that. Just a random name. And this bad Congressman Schmon Schmonyers decides to do terrible things to his female staffers. And then when they complain, he says, well, look, I'm going to give you a settlement. You can go work somewhere else, and you drop any complaints and charges against me, and I'll give you this big amount of money, let's say $27,000 from Schmon Schmonyers, who's this completely fictional member of Congress who doesn't exist. And then, of course, people will say, oh, okay. And then, you know, the victim walks away with some level of satisfaction, and the perpetrator gets to walk away with no particular consequence because they're not paying the money themselves. So I would I hate to say this to this particular Texas congressman, but I don't, you know, if you're going to have a scandal come out, this is a particularly bad moment to have that come out. And I will not be running to the ramparts to say, oh, we got to defend this guy.
Ugly, ugly, ugly. All right, let's move on to the crazy martini now, Jim. And I guess the good news for John Conyers and Blake Farenthold and Al Franken is we're all going to be dead soon anyway, so it doesn't really matter how these legal pursuits pan out, because the Senate Republicans passed a tax reform / tax cut bill late Friday night into Saturday morning. And because of that, we're all going to die. So the liberal overreaction is our crazy martini here. Hats off to the folks at PJ Media who compiled some of these. I know others have done so as well. Let's just look at some of the highlights here. Kurt Eichenwald, big-time lefty over at Newsweek, on Twitter, quote, America died tonight. Economic suicide adopted to feed the insatiable greed of donors who have been refusing to dole out money to the GOP until they got their tax cuts. Voters fooled by propaganda and tribal hatred. Millennials, move away if you can. USA is over. We killed it. Comedian Patton Oswalt, is there any going back after this tax bill scam to America? Does it matter now if Trump is impeached? There's no America now. Not the one we knew. Sorry, feeling real despair this morning. Over on MSNBC, Joy Reid talking to Bruce Bartlett, who was one of Reagan's economists in the 80s, was a conservative economist for a long time. At some point with him, there was a falling out with the conservative movement, and now he hates everything Republicans do on fiscal matters. And here's their exchange about what Joy Reid alleges is a tax hike on the poor. Jim, I'm pretty sure that doesn't pan out with the facts, but that doesn't matter to these people. Here's what they said.
What would be the justification in your mind that Republicans would have for raising taxes on lower income people? Because they, you know, they spend all of their income. So why raise taxes on them?
It really defies comprehension. Maybe they think that the poor have it so easy that they need to have to pay more taxes to force them to go out and work more. The amazing thing is that people seem to be accepting this so meekly and mildly. It's really akin to rape. It really is.
Akin to rape, Jim. Bill Palmer, the liberal blogger, says millions of Americans died tonight. So did the careers of every one of those psychotic, drooling animals in the Republican Party who voted for it. Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers says this will kill 10,000 people every year going forward. Keep in mind, this hasn't actually become law yet. They still have to get to a final bill between the House and Senate. And, of course, the attacks on John McCain, who voted for this. Remember, everybody on the left hated John McCain and wished him to die soon when he advancing the health care bill. Then he voted against it finally on the final vote, and then they all loved him. Now he voted for this, and they're getting tweets like, quote, Dear Senator John McCain, here's hoping you die a long, slow, painful death from that brain cancer. And another says it's truly a travesty that John McCain didn't die in Vietnam. So, Jim, it's the cautious, rational, sober approach of the left that really is the hallmark of these debates.
I want to go back and look it's you can probably say find Republicans who are saying something like, if Obamacare passes, it is the end of America as we know it. Now, some of the things Republicans warned about under Obamacare have come to pass. Some people did lose their plan. Some people were not able to keep seeing the doctor they wanted to see. This claim that it was going to lower premiums by $2,500 for the average family has not come through. And in fact, lots of people are finding themselves having to buy, having, you know, higher premiums, higher copays, higher deductibles. And this, you know, the sense that if you have a $5,000 deductible, you don't really have health insurance because you're paying out of pocket for, you know, a good chunk of your year until you hit that. You basically you're at the point where you're almost it's advantageous to run out and get hit by a bus because then finally you hit the deductible and you can get everything else covered that you're looking for there. So look, this is hyperbole. Is it only happened to the Democrat to Democrats? No, Republicans have done this too. But having said that, this is kind of ridiculous because ultimately at the end, this is just reducing people's tax rates. Now, are you going to not like certain provisions? Fine. When they complain, oh, so much of the tax cuts go to the rich. The rich pay most of the taxes. When you have 40% of the people who do not pay income tax, it is pretty much impossible to give them an income tax. There's no number lower than zero. Unless you want to start giving people tax credits and refundable tax credits where they can actually the government gives them money. And there are certain circumstances we might find that worthwhile. But by and large, we want people to, you know, I don't think it's outrageous when you say, you know what, I want everybody, whether you're making $1 million, $1 bazillion, whether you're Bill Gates level or Jeff Bezos level wealth, or you don't have two nickels to rub together. The idea that you want everybody to kick in some amount of money. I don't think that's a crazy principle. I think that's a you know, pretty straightforward idea that if we all benefit from the services provided by government, we should all kick in a little something depending on what we can afford. The idea Patton Oswalt has made me laugh in his performances plenty of times, but I'm not going to trust him for political analysis. If he really looks at his country and says, oh, my God, the Senate passed a tax bill that still has to go to conference. Let's not put our chicken, right. Counter chicken before they hatch. And then they to be in a circumstance where, like, you know, the country that survived two world wars, the Civil War, the Great Depression, the tumult of the 60s, the Cold War, every conceivable massive of, you know, challenges we've ever been through. And this tax bill is going to do it. Right. I mean, remember also they thought that, you know, the Obamacare replacement by Republicans was going to destroy the country. And a lot of people, you know, the primal screams when Trump won, you know. Political changes aren't supposed to be make or break or destroy the country. And I, you know, it is kind of deeply frustrating that, you know, this is how you end up with cults of personality being built. When you get convinced that everybody on the other side is evil, when everybody on the other side is trying to destroy your country, when everybody on the other side is basically a barbarian horde coming to cut off your head, you know, no wonder. Oh, by the way, Greg, do you think this happens to lead to people say to, you know, attack Rand Paul while he's mowing his lawn, or to shoot up a baseball field of Republican congressmen, or to try to drive a Republican congressman off the road, as we saw earlier this year in Tennessee? I have a hard time believing that this much. If you constantly tell people Republicans are trying to kill you and your family, that eventually some people are going to absorb this and act accordingly. And here's the problem. When you say Republicans are trying to kill you and your family, what you mean is they pass legislation we don't like. And there's nothing wrong with having that opinion. Then you go out and win some elections. Try that, guys. You might, you know, if you, you know, you manage to do it in Virginia, and that's why everybody's paying $30 to commute today. Anyway, bottom line with all this here is that instead of calming down, it is getting worse and more intense. And, you know, there are a lot of people that say, oh, this is why we enjoy liberal tears or something like that. My suspicion is that this level of hysteria is now reaching a point where it's getting kind of dangerous, where because if you literally believe the wording of these people, the Republican, you know, that passing this bill is like rape, that passing this bill is destroying America, then you'd want to react to these people with, you know, violent resistance.
Jim, let's see what happens in the conference. I'm still hoping we get a good tax cut, but I guess I just want America to die. See you tomorrow.
Happy Monday, everybody. See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.